Good morning. Everybody doing well? Yeah. Proverbs chapter 19. And we're going to look at verse 17. Verse 17. You know, there's one group of people that God has a special place in his heart for, great compassion for, and that is the poor. God has a great compassion for the poor. What's interesting is when Jesus came to this world and he was wrapped in those swaddling clothes, wrapped in human flesh, God in human flesh, he was born to a poor family. And he was raised in a poor town. And he became a homeless preacher. And when he was crucified and died, he was put into a borrowed tomb. Truly, he came into this world with nothing, and he left this world with nothing. He didn't have anything. And God became poor so that we may become rich. Paul said this to the second in 2 Corinthians. He said, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor, that through his poverty, you might become rich." Well, this morning's message, we're going to deal with poverty. And, you know, poverty is an extreme condition throughout the world. There's poverty in our city. There's poverty in our county, state, in our nation. There is poverty. There's different levels of poverty, different types of poverty, and we'll talk about that. But what is the Christian supposed to do towards poverty? That is an important question that I hope you guys will open up your hearts to. Proverbs 19:17 gives us a radical answer, unexpected answer. And it teaches that the right heart, that we are not only to be a blessing to the poor, but we are lending to God. Not only that, God promises we'll be paid back what we give. So give me your attention. And so we're going to talk about who the poor is and the proper way we treat the poor. And finally, we're going to end with the prosperity, the blessing of giving to others and the right heart and the undeserved payback God offers us. First of all, let's look at verse 17. "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back to what he has given." That's the New King James Version. Let me read another translation. "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done." The New American Standard says it this way: "He who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed." And let me pull out another proverb. From chapter 14, you don't have to turn there. It goes, "He who oppresses the poor taunts his maker," or taunts God, "but he who is gracious to the needy honors him." There was this lady by the name of Mother Teresa, and she dedicated her life to serving the poor in India. And she lived her life in poverty. And she would rescue kids who were thrown out on the streets. She would take in infants that people would abandon, and they would leave them with her. And she said, "Give them to me. I will love these kids." And she wrote this thing, these words, which are, I think, are very profound. It says, "We think sometimes that poverty is only being hungry, naked, and homeless. The poverty of being unwanted, unloved, and uncared for is the greatest poverty. We must start in our homes to remedy this kind of poverty." So we learn from her words, which is true, poverty comes in all kinds of forms. It impacts our society in various forms, from hunger, nakedness, homelessness, loneliness, and the uncared for. Cole, why don't you sit right here, please? And these kinds of poverties can be found all over the world. There are people in our church who live in poverty. I'm not saying they might have the poverty of loneliness. There is a group of people in our country, they call it the working poor. And those are folks that they don't make enough money to get by. They barely make it paycheck to paycheck, or perhaps they don't make it paycheck to paycheck. And, you know, some of us can be in those families. Some of us come from plenty. But God's heart is, no matter what position you are in life, that we are generous people giving to the poor. Now, Jesus told us, excuse me, we will always have the poor. And so it's up to the church, the body of Christ, to give to the poor. Now, the church has always been good for this. Can you think of any benevolence ministries that was started by the church? Yeah. The food pantry here, very good. Locally, boom. That is a good thing. You know, families buy food, they load up the pantry, and the church is a distributing center to those who need stuff. The Salvation Army was a Christian organization that gave to the poor. The YMCA at one time was a Christian organization. It's gone very secular since then, but the Red Cross was founded by Christians to give medicine to those who are in need. Samaritan's Purse. What did we do right over here just a couple weeks ago? Christmas boxes, giving to poor kids. Those are good things. And here are this morning's verse says, when we lend to the poor, God will repay us. Now, there's a poverty of spirit. There are some people in this church who are very lonely. And there are kids in Velocity that come here and they sit in the back of class or wherever they're sitting. And there's some of us in Velocity, some kids who are just in their group and they ignore other kids because they're not popular or, you know, whatever the reason is. And you know what? If you're a Christian, you should be able to be friends with every other believer, to welcome them with a smile, welcome them with a hello, instead of being stuck in our little groups. And so we are to give to one another. And some of us may be wealthy, but if you're a believer, do not look down at the poor. That is so ungodlike. We are to have compassion for the poor and treat people with love, dignity, and compassion. And so that's the poor. They're everywhere. But what is the proper care of the poor? What's our proper attitude towards poverty? Let's read verse 17 together again. And read up to the first comma. Now, what is the attitude of the person towards the poor? What's their attitude should be? Alexis? What's your attitude? What does it say? Read it to you. He who is... pity. What? Pity. Who has pity. What's pity? Another word for pity is compassion. What's that? Yes. You know, pity is having, oh, I feel sorry for that person. I'm going to do something about it. No, it's like, you know, it's kind of like this, having compassion. Let's say, or you're not Abe, you're Justin. You're running and you fell on your face and you just smashed it, good time. Having compassion for you would be like, I would go, ooh, that's bad. Let me get you a bandage. Let me get you some ice for your head instead of there laughing and scoffing at you. That's having compassion. And that's the attitude that God wants to bring out in our hearts, to be kind and compassionate towards those who are in need. See, we're growing up, we, as Americans, we're very materialistic. We're very, very materialistic. And as Americans, sometimes our hearts are very hard towards those that who are in need. Sometimes we have an attitude, oh, I'm so much better because I have this and I live here and blah, 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 blah. But that's not God's attitude towards us. He's the creator of the universe. And here Jesus became poor for our sake so that we may become rich. God doesn't like it when we have a haughty spirit. As we learned in Proverbs earlier, is that God hates a haughty spirit. That's an arrogant, oh, I'm so prideful, I'm so much better than everybody else. God hates that. You know, those are one of the few things Scripture that says that God hates. And so we need to have an attitude of compassion towards one another. Kindness is the fruit of what? Say that again, please. Yeah. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? It's love. You know, we have to, when we in our giving, we have to have the right attitude. It's out of love that we give. If you were to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know, and they call it the love chapter, and Paul says, if you give to the poor everything you have and you don't have love, it profits you nothing. It profits you nothing. But God says here, if you do it with the right attitude, you're lending to me and I will repay you back. When I show kindness to somebody in my class that, you know, maybe he's a little bit different or maybe she's a little bit different, or and you show compassion, or your friend, you know, they don't have a lot of money and you're at school and they don't have any lunch money and you have extra lunch money, buy them a lunch for the names, but for the Lord's sake. That's good. Pardon me?
Yeah, give me like less attention if you do that. You are buying something in front of them. They do. That's what you
do. Well, you know, it's a good thing if you're buying. It's unfortunate that you get in trouble, but you know, I think if you do what you said, hey man, I got lunch for you.
I always make it. I always like, well, someone is not waiting for me.
Sometimes detention is in trouble for me. I've been in there so many times, I know everyone at
times. And I know they know you. Warm, yes. There's nothing like public school pizza. Mm.
We have a snack bar.
Yeah, we have a snack bar. We get pizza.
Cool. All right, let's move on. So we need to give to those. But also, we need to reach out to those who are lonely. Those who are, because that's what Jesus did, didn't he? Did Jesus make the most incredible promise to you? He said he would never, ever leave you nor forsake you. You'll never be alone. But there are some people who feel very alone and they need a human touch. They need somebody to know that they acknowledge them, they exist. You know, the crazy thing is we have a lot of people who go to our church, and I'm convinced we have a lot of people who come to Velocity that nobody pays attention to. Nobody says hello. How's it going? No, really, I mean, that's good. You know, talk to people. Because this is your opportunity to pray for them, you know. Maybe something, you know, one of the kids in Velocity, you find out, you know, my grandmother died and I'm really bummed out about it. I'm sad. Well, let me pray for you. Or something even more tragic. You know, one of my parents has cancer and I'm afraid they might die. You know what? Reach out to that person and pray for them. You know, we cannot always be caught up in our little selfish world. We need to get out of that box and reach out to others and have compassion for others.
That's how it is in middle school.
Like, say that again?
That's how it is in school, like in middle school and stuff. Like, everyone has a little table and all that.
Yeah.
It's bugs. Ew, what are you doing here? Have you ever seen that commercial, Compassion? Ew, what are you doing here?
And you know, yeah. That's good.
And this another one with this one girl was like all sweet. She goes up to the plate and she's like, "Oh, Betty, I hate her scrawny hair. I hate her scrawny body." She's all putting her down. And then in the end, she's like, "Thank you." I was like, what?
Yeah. And but you know what? You guys brought up some good examples. But as Christians, are we to be that way? Absolutely not. You know, big time not. And you know what? You may be hanging out with your friends, and they may not be believers, but you know, you be bold in your faith, bold in character to do it anyway. Be bold in your faith. Be bold in what you believe. Okay, let's move on. So, where do we begin being compassionate and being kind to one another? Where do we begin? Well, first of all, start at home. Start at home. Josh, be nice to your sister. Jillian, be nice to your brother. That's where it begins. Seriously, it does. It's being unselfish to your brothers and sisters, or being unselfish with your parents. Because, you know, the truth of the matter is, you guys can be very selfish kids towards your parents. You don't talk to your mama that way, young man. And I hope you said, "Yes, ma'am," and I hope you apologized.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, you need to honor your mother and father, really, because there'll be benefits to it. I mean, spiritual benefits, because you know what? If you honor your mother and father, do you realize that, you know, whether you agree with your parents or not, and you know what? I'm a parent, and I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. And there are things that I react in a way that's ungodly, and you know, and I have to apologize to my kids. And there's times, you know, I rag on them unnecessarily.
My dad does it all the time.
Well, quit doing it, and he won't have to do it. You know, hello, get a clue.
See, that's the point. I don't get a clue.
You know. Well, you know, the thing is, you know, as a parent, we don't like ragging on you. I don't. It's not like, oh, I want to rag on my kids today. This is a great day to rag on them.
My kids just do that. Oh, I want to pick on Cole today. Okay. Ooh, I want to pick on Sam today. Yeah. I know that. Like, you didn't do your homework, even though I have it in my hand. So you have an F.
Well, let's move on, guys. Let's move on. So practice it at home. And another place that you could do it is carry it out in your school, in your church. Okay, you're homeschooled. How can I do it? You know, in church, when you're around people, other human beings. Because as we talked about it last week, and I'll remind you of it this week, is that Jesus says how you treat the least of these, the least of people, is how you treat Him. And you know, and we go to church. Don't take that back. When we go to church, you know, we think, oh, I want to worship God and I want to sing the songs, and we go and we lift our hands and we get out of church and we're little mean little people. That's not a worshiper of God. A worshiper of God is somebody who has compassion and kindness towards other human beings. You know, Jesus, yet while we were sinners, He died for us. You know, Jesus died for the unlovely. You know, I think you guys are really neat kids. But you know what the truth is about us, and me too, is that I'm a dirty, rotten, stinking sinner. And if it wasn't for God's grace, I'd still be a dirty, rotten, stinking sinner. You know, the Bible says that we were basically born dead in sin and trespasses. And there's nothing in you that is good. And you think, well, I'm a pretty nice person. How can you say that? Well, compared to God, you don't measure up.
Oh, that's mean.
Well, that's the truth.
That's mean.
But the beauty is, Cole, when you ask Jesus into your heart, God now looks at you with the righteousness of Christ. And he looks at Cole and says, I don't see any sin in him. He's perfect. But the Holy Spirit is working in your heart to make you like Jesus, so you start acting more like God. It's a work of God that's working in your hearts. So, where do we begin? We begin at home. We carry it out in our church and schools. And finally, start giving to the poor. I forget your name. Rachel mentioned a great way of doing it is giving to the food pantry here at church. That is an awesome way of giving to the poor. Giving to other kids, helping kids. You know, I think would be a good practical thing of getting outside your skin and being less selfless is giving to that little big giant bottle we have for as an agape box here. And see, some of that money funds the things that happen here in Velocity. And some of that money is probably even used for scholarships for kids who cannot afford to go to like the Peak or the different places. We can use that money to help somebody who can't afford to go. That's giving to the poor. That's practical. And that's good. So help out with your fellow students. Let me tell you something about how God really detests if we mistreat the poor. He judged a nation because of the way they treated the poor. And that's something that we need to pray for our country, that we would be a very compassionate people towards our own citizens. This comes out of Deuteronomy. He says, if there is among you a poor man of your brethren within the gates of your land, which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from the poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need. Whatever he needs, beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart saying, the seventh year of release is at hand, and your eye will be evil against your poor brother and give him nothing. And he shall cry out to the Lord against you and shall become sin among you. You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give him. Again, attitude. Because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works, in all which you put your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and needy in your land. God cares about the poor, and he judged a nation because they ignored the poor. They oppressed them. Yes, sir.
Why is it like the governor sending like notes to immigration and stuff? Illegal immigrants. They should be like legal.
Well, that's a political thing. And my answer to that is, first of all, this country welcomes people from every nation, but it needs to be done in an orderly process, a legal process, instead of breaking the law to be, you know, and forcing yourself in. But if you abide by the laws and you do it legally and justly, then the citizens of this country, you know, from a Christian perspective, should not look down at somebody who's an immigrant to this country. Because the truth of the matter is, this nation was founded by immigrants. You know, we all came from somewhere. Now, there's some of us who are Native American. They're indigenous people. They were born here and probably... excuse me, most of us probably have those bloodlines running through our bodies. You know, we're probably part Native American. Whatever. But we're all immigrants, and we should treat one another with kindness and compassion. That's the overall rule. And so that's a good question. That's a good question. But, you know, from my perspective, I think all immigrants to this country should do it legally and in order. So, but let's look at the prosperity. Let's look at the second half of this verse. And he will pay back what he has given. There's a payback. And there's prosperity. And we're going to look at two things. True worship and true prosperity. As I said before, true worship, or the worship of God, is determined how we people, how we treat the least of people, how we treat one another is really indicative of if you're a worshiper of God. And as I said, God is serious how we treat others, so much as one of the reasons Israel was judged. Let me read another verse from the Old Testament, Zechariah, talking about this. Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah saying, thus the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. And look at verse 11. This is what happened. But they refused to heed and shrugged their shoulders, stopped their ears so they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words of the Lord, the host has sent by his spirit through the former prophets. Thus, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore, it happened that just as he proclaimed, they will not hear. So they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among the nations which they had not known. And thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate. God judges that. But as believers, as body of Christ, we want to bless people, don't we? We want to bless them with the gospel, true prosperity. And we'll talk about that. We want the love of God to be our motivation to bless others. When the love of Christ is flowing through our veins, there is incredible joy in your life. How many feel crummy when you bless somebody? Have you ever felt crummy? Darn, I blessed that person. I feel lousy. It won't happen. And you bless somebody, you have such great joy, right? Man, I did a good thing. That is so cool. And Lord, I did it for you. I hope you, I pray you bless this person. I hope they do well. But did you know that true prosperity comes from true poverty? A poverty of spirit. And what do I mean by this? Well, Jesus said in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for the kingdom of God shall be theirs. Blessed are the poor in spirit. How can somebody be happy and poor in spirit at the same time? It's like, it doesn't make sense. It's a contradiction. Well, this is what Jesus was talking about. All of us need to realize what our heart looks like towards God in comparison to what God is. God said that we are to be perfect as he is perfect. Any of you here perfect? No. Not at all. Not even close. We may think, well, I'm a good guy. Oh, well, that's wonderful. You're a good person. But compared to God, you fall way short the glory of God. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short the glory of God.
It's like you sin, like everything you
just about. But so what does that do to our heart when you say, I can't do it? What happens when you can't succeed? You can't be perfect. What happens when you flunk that test? Do you feel good about it? You feel bad. You feel horrible. Or you're playing a sport and you strike out. Bases loaded.
Two outs.
You feel lousy. And that's what God wants you to feel when you realize what your heart is towards Him. Said, Lord, I am lousy. I'm a worm. I can't be as good as you. What am I going to do? And this is what God does. Here you are, poor in spirit. You think, oh, God, it's useless. And God says, here's my son. Believe in him and you shall be saved. And believe in him, I shall give you my righteousness. And what does your heart do then? Happy is the man whose sin is freely forgiven. Oh, how blessed, oh, how happy are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of God is theirs. As you grow in maturity in the Lord, I pray that God shows you what you are before him. And you're going to think, oh, God, I am useless. I'm worthless. Sorry about that. But you know what the beauty is? When God bought you, he bought you knowing everything about you. Yes, you were adopted. The Bible says you were. No, that's cool. It's way cool. The moderator said, shut up. Over there. But God bought you with his blood. He knew everything about you. And he knows that anything that you do is not going to surprise God. He's not going to say, oh, I chose Josh. What was I doing? There's nothing wrong with you. But God doesn't know, you know, Josh is not going to surprise him. God will choose him. So let's think of those, and let's, in conclusion, let's demonstrate our love to God by loving and giving to others, beginning with our families, our neighborhoods, our school, velocity. By these attitudes, we lend to God, and God promises us a gracious reward. That is cool. Well, you will. You'll have pain in life, but when you go to heaven, it'll be happily ever after. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you for this morning. And God, help us to be kind towards one another, to give to the poor who are poor in spirit, who are lonely, to those who are in need of food and money, to those who are in need, God. Help us to be gracious and generous people. And Lord, help us to do it out of an attitude of love and worship for you, and also genuine concern for that other person. Well, I ask, Father, that you would transform our hearts beginning now. Continue to work with us. And Lord, I pray as we grow in maturity with you that we would learn your patience with us. We thank you. We praise you. We love you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right. Guys who borrowed Bibles, put